Mark chapter 6, verse 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they went out and preached that men should repent. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for the great salvation you've given us. Lord, that you died in our place, that you loved us and cared for us, that you brought the message to us. Lord, that you even worked in our hearts that we would repent and turn from our self and all the things that we went and turn to you. I do pray, Father, you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. I pray, dear Lord, you'd take this message and suit it to the needs of every person listening to me and ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus has picked 12 disciples, going to make them apostles. They're going to be the founders of the church. They're going to be the writers of the scripture. He's picked some very special men and he sent them out preaching. And what they preached was repentance. Repentance. Now, we don't like the term repentance. There's a whole lot of people in modern Christianity, they don't like the idea of repentance. They don't like preachers preaching on repentance. They want people preaching on something positive, something nice, something sweet, something about love. But the only problem is people don't get saved without repentance. It's by repentance of sins that people get saved. Now, we really don't like to hear how bad we are, but if we never heard how bad we are, we'd never know our condition and we know that we need God. How do men repent? Why do men repent? What brings repentance about? Number one's preaching. So they went out and preached everywhere that men should repent. That's what they were called to preach. That's what Jesus told them to preach. He went out and told them to repent. He means change your mind and change your actions and change your life. The chances are, if you have never really repented, had a change in your life, you're not saved.
Right.
You can join a church without repenting. You can get baptized without repenting. You can teach a Sunday school class without repenting. You can preach the gospel without repenting. Oh yeah, you can. People are doing it every day, right here and now. They're doing it. But without repentance, you'll never really be saved.
Amen.
You got to come to the place to recognize yourself as a sinner. And as a sinner in need of a Savior. Because if you don't need a Savior, Jesus didn't die for you. I want you to understand that very clearly up front. He says himself, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's what Jesus came for. Now, how in the world does repentance work? Well, people preach like I'm preaching. I'm going to preach on repentance this morning. And I've been preaching on repentance for over 40 years. Preaching that men might recognize that they are sinners and need God. It's amazing how we can confuse the issues and think that all of us are all right and we're all pretty good. I'm good, you're good, we're all good, I'm happy, we're all happy. And the trouble is, people are away from God. Away from God. Away from God, what does that bring you? It brings you death and hell. What does that bring you? It brings you sorrow and misery and failure. All sorts of things come from being away from God. And the worst thing man ever did is walk away from God. And the worst decision you ever made was when you turned God down. You couldn't get a better life than the one God wants for you.
Amen.
I know you don't believe that. I know young people don't believe their parents really want things good for them. When they don't let them date, or they don't let them have a certain amount of money, or they don't let them take a certain job, or they don't let them... Something like this. Well, what do you think the parents, they just love to torture you. That's what's in your mind. It's all they want to do is they just want to torture me. No, they don't. They've made their mistakes and they've seen a lot more mistakes than you and they don't want to see you hurt. And that's the way God is. God hates sin because sin hurts man. And until you recognize that your sin hurts you and everybody you touch, you probably really won't repent. Or until you recognize that your sin is selfishly, your sin is going to end you in hell. That's what broke me. I wasn't so worried about how many people I hurt. I wasn't so worried about what people thought of me. I was worried about hell. And when it came to the point I realized that 21-year-olds can die, just like any old folks can die, when that buddy of mine, Bobby Harris, blew up on my truck, I said, I could have been on that truck, and that could have been me, and I could have died. And if I'd have died, where would I be? And I'd be in hell. And I repented. I was already a member of a church. but I repented. And when I repented, I got saved.
Amen.
So you can be a member of a church and not be saved.
Yeah, right.
There are lots of church members that have never repented and never accepted Christ as their Savior. There's lots of church members that have even done a turning over a new leaf without ever being born again and accepting Christ as their Savior. They went out and preached everywhere that men would repent. I want to tell you something else about repentance. Look over in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25. I think it's a very interesting fact about repentance. Starting back in verse 24, Paul is giving Timothy instruction on how to deal with people. And he says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will." Notice where repentance comes from. God. God brings about repentance. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. What brings repentance about? Well, it comes from the preaching of the word and God moving upon a person's heart. What a beautiful thing that God touches people's hearts. I'm glad he touched my heart.
Amen.
I'm glad he touched some of your hearts.
Amen.
Praise God, what a difference. God moves upon people's hearts. I had someone call me the other night, long distance, wanted to know about gambling. What does the Bible say about gambling? Well, not much. Gambling. It says they cast lots for the robe of Jesus, the Roman soldiers did, at the foot of the cross. And that's about the only time it's mentioned is a sense like that. And yet, is there any Bible for it? Oh, yeah. How about covetousness? Yeah, how about lust? How about wanting what something for nothing? Oh, there's a lot of moral reasons why not to be a gambler. And the addiction that comes on so many people that get it. I was never hooked on alcohol. I was hooked on cigarettes and I was hooked on gambling. Man, when I couldn't play, my hands would itch. I tell you what, I'd have bet you on which way a bird flew off a twig. Gambling will get you. Don't you mess with it. It's as dangerous as cigarettes. It's as dangerous as alcohol. As far as tearing up your life, ruining your life, ruining your family. There's mothers, they have a gambling anonymous. Like they have Alcoholics Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous. Why? There are so many addicted gamblers that they'll just go to waste all of their paycheck. There was one lady in Florida, knew she was going to win the lottery. She sold her house, took every dime and put it in and bought lottery tickets and lost and then was upset. Well, you idiot, if you bet your whole house, you better be willing to lose your whole house. You know what we need to do? We need to think about things that are sin and things we do in our life and let God move upon our hearts. The only sermon I ever heard preached on gambling was preached the day the guy was preaching, brought conviction to me. I was a gambler. I knew I was a gambler. I haven't heard one since. I don't even preach on it. I haven't spent much time preaching on gambling. And yet that man nailed my hide. The Holy Spirit, God Almighty, wanted to bring repentance to my heart, and he brought it about by preaching on gambling. And I said, that's me. Yeah, that's sin, that's me. And I began to recognize all my sin. You see, repentance comes because God moves upon the heart. Now, what you can do with this is you can resist it. The Bible says you can resist the Holy Spirit. You can resist it. You can deny it. You can get yourself away from it. You can run from it. But a wonderful thing is that God does move upon people's hearts to repent. That's change your mind. I did change my mind. Changed my mind about a lot of things. And by the grace of God, everyone I changed on helped my life out. I'm thankful for that. And you know something? I didn't just repent to get saved. I repented to get saved, and I've been repenting ever since. Something will come up in my life, something will come up in a situation, I'd say, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I gotta do something different. That's repentance. You come to the place to say that what I'm doing is wrong, the way I'm going is wrong, the way I'm thinking is wrong, the way I'm practicing is wrong, the way I'm spending my money is wrong, the way I'm allowing my mind to run is wrong! And as a Christian, how in the world are you gonna walk with God who is holy if you're continually wrong? You have to repent. You have to repent. You have to confess it and ask God to forgive you. And then you restore fellowship because God's a gracious God and a wonderful God. Said right here, if peradventure God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You know what? I preach that men would repent, and I preach the truth that the truth might bring about repentance in your heart. I don't preach so that you'll say, good sermon, Brother Lindell. I like that. I like that better than throwing eggs at me and rocks at me and writing me dirty letters and calling me and giving me ugly phone calls. I like it better when you pat me on the back. But that's not my purpose in preaching. I wouldn't preach like I preach if that were my purpose in preaching. But you know what? I want God, peradventure, to grant repentance to somebody I'm preaching to. I pray that way. When I'm walking up to a house, knock on a door, and I've knocked on an awful lot of them in my life, I pray, Lord, touch the people in this place. Lord, there's some lost people in this place. Oh, Lord, bring them to repentance. Bring them to the place they'll acknowledge you. They'll acknowledge the truth. They'll say, God is right and I'm wrong. Amen. God is holy and I'm a sinner. God, oh God, forgive me. Another way that repentance is brought about, if you look at Luke chapter 15, is by example. You repent of your sins. You make some changes in your life. You quit smoking, quit drinking, quit cussing, start going to church. Somebody's going to notice. Now, I don't know how many of you have had a real big change in your life and recently, but let me tell you what, when things like this happen, all of a sudden people look at you and say, what are you doing? What are you doing? We have the story of the prodigal son. Look back at verse 17 in Luke chapter 15, verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He took a real good look, came to himself, look at his condition. He said, you know, I'm the son of a very rich man. His servants eat better than I'm eating. His servants are dressed better than I'm dressed. I'm the son, but look at the condition I'm in. He came to himself. He took a look at his condition. I hope you don't have to get down to the pig pen before you repent. Some people do. Some people simply have to go all the way down to the slop of the pig before they'll ever recognize they need to repent and call upon God. Well, that's what this guy did. He went all the way down. He went from being a favored son, a blessed son, a rich son, a high-living son, a very friendly son, down to feeding pigs and himself starving. And when he got down there, he said, look at me. Do you have to go that far? I hope not. But when you see somebody go that far and turn it around, my, isn't that something? Ooh, everybody knows it then. Everybody can tell it then. Bless your heart, 10, 11-year-old, trust the Lord Jesus, and they say, I'm a sinner, and repent, and you know they can be just as real and true as anybody. But you don't see a great big change in their life because they haven't lived out in the world. They're not out running around doing all sorts of mean things. They haven't been out stealing and beating people up and doing whatever meanness that happens to be around the road. So you don't see that. But boy, some old boy quits drinking, quits cussing. You say, whoa, something happened to him. That's what happened to this guy. What about the guy in the bottom of the pig pen? What about the guy down eating slop with the pigs? What about the guy down here at the rescue mission? What about the guy that's already messed his family up and trashed his kids and his wife? Well, when they turn around, you can see it. Well, you can see it with this guy. He said, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. That's repentance. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. That's repentance. That's repentance. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned in your sight. I'm not worthy. And what God do? What did the Father do? He just had mercy on him. Oh, put a ring on his hand. Put a robe on him. Kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party. My son was dead. Now my son's alive again. My son was lost. My son is now found. Praise God for repentance. Praise God for people who repent. Praise God when you see somebody repent, because that helps other people do the same thing. I don't know how many times in people's lives, when one person has gotten saved and changed their life, it affects people all around them. Somebody else will come in. Some friend will come. Some neighbor will come. Maybe the wife will come. Maybe the husband will come. Maybe the children will come. Repentance is brought about by the preaching of the Word of God, by the preaching of the truth, by the move of God upon the heart, and by the example of people who have repented. Now, what is repentance really? Look, if you will, back in Deuteronomy 32. Amen or oh me. You got enough trouble if both of you say, both of you think alike, both of you go to the same church, both of you read the same Bible. You still got enough trouble living together in the same house, making all the decisions you're going to make. But why don't you just go out there and pick you up one of those bums at a singles bar? You know what the result's going to be? You're going to be calling me. I'll be using you as an illustration years from now. Isn't that terrible? Are you going to preach on me today? I can't help it. I mean, I got enough illustrations. I got enough living illustrations all around me. Considering your latter end, when a man comes to the place that he repents towards God, he's thinking about, how am I going to stand before God? He's thinking about, what will be the result of my life? What will be the result of what I'm going to do? Oh, that they were wise, they would consider their latter end. If you had enough sense to look forward, you'd choose God today. That's the truth. Amen. Now look at Deuteronomy again, chapter 4 and verse 29. What is repentance? But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Real Bible repentance is with the heart and the soul. It's real stuff. It's not just some made up thing. It's not just I'm in trouble this week and therefore.
Amen.
It's if you seek God, how can I find God? You say, I haven't found God. Well, you haven't sought him hard enough yet.
That's right.
Because you'll find him.
That's right.
I heard about an old man. I read about an old preacher years ago. It took him 85 times to come to the altar before he really got saved. Now, it don't take 85 times to get saved. It just takes one time, right? But praise God, he went 85 times. I don't care how many times it takes you until you do it right once. Get it done right. 85 times at the altar? Well, I don't know what his problems were, but he finally got it done right and preached the rest of his life, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to get it right one time. One time, get it right. Seek the Lord with all your heart and all your soul. He said, you'll find him. You know what the promise is? You'll find him. What's the problem if you haven't found him? That's real simple. There's something wrong in your heart.
That's right. Amen.
You got something down in your soul you don't want to give up before God. You got something you're putting in reserve. You're saying, God, I'll serve you, but the Roman general supposedly became a Christian. He saw the sign of the cross. He made all his army become Christians. In other words, by being baptized. Everything but their sword arm. They were baptized with a sword up out of the water. In their hand. Their sword belonged to him, Constantine, but their souls belonged to God. That was the symbolism. There are no reserves. You can't hold your sword arm back from God. You can't hold your family back from God. You can't hold your children, your little baby girl back from God. You can't hold your money and your job out away from God. It's with all the heart and with all the soul. It's everything you have. And unless you seek God that sincerely, that completely, you probably won't find him. But if you do, real repentance seeks God with all our... You know, the night I got saved, I gave God anything.
Amen.
There was no reserve. Oh, I've lived long enough to say, Lord, you know, I don't want to do that or I don't want to do that. But no, when I got saved, when God got a hold of me, whatever you want, I don't care. You can have it. I know you're my Lord. I know that you're God. I know that I belong to you. I know everything. Real repentance is not only looking at the latter end and making a wise choice. It's seeking God with all your heart and with all your soul. He said you'll find him. Look at Proverbs, if you will, chapter 28. Verse 13. Real repentance. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Confessing and forsaking. Need to be confessed. You know, they sort of go together. Confessing and forsaking. Too many times some of us confess and don't forsake. But we need to confess and forsake. You say you got a repeating sin? Sure, all of us do. Well, you just keep confessing and keep forsaking. Sooner or later you get the job done. What repentance is confessing and forsaking. Not only this is wrong, Lord, but I don't want to do it anymore. I recognize this is wrong. I confess it is wrong. I've been wrong. You're right. Now, Lord, deliver me from this. Confessing and forsaking. What sort of result does repentance bring? Look, if you will, in Isaiah 55, verse 7. Isaiah 55, 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. That's repentance. And he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Mercy and pardon is the result of biblical repentance. You repent towards God, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will have mercy and pardon on you. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Hey, if you had to pay for your sins, you'd never get through paying for them. Now, I know you think you're so righteous you don't have any sins, but that's not true. If you have to pay for your sins, you will never get through paying for them. Never. You know what you need to do? Recognize your sin. Recognize you need God. Recognize He's the Savior. You know the beautiful thing about God, big and strong as God is, He's merciful. God is love, or He's also justice. He's also righteousness. Take a look at God. Look at what God has done in the past. Look what God's going to do in the future. Read the book of Revelation. It's going to get rough. There are going to be some bad times on this earth. And some sweet people are going to suffer some tough times. Well, just take a look around. There's people suffering in this room right now. Suffering with sickness. Suffering with troubles. All sorts of problems coming in their lives. Oh, yeah. Life's full of trouble. Man is born under trouble, the Bible says. It's not that you're not going to have trouble. It's how you handle the trouble. How you react to the trouble. Makes all the difference in the world. But this judging, righteous God is also a merciful God. He provided a way that He could show mercy and He could have pardon. And one of the results of repentance is mercy and pardon. But you don't get the mercy and you don't get the pardon if you don't produce the repentance. You understand? It's repentance towards God. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So one of the results, it's mercy and pardon. Look, if you will, over at 15th chapter of Luke again, verses 7 and 10. I'll tell you another result of real repentance. It's joy. Joy in heaven and joy on earth. I say unto you, verse 7, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Look at verse 10. Likewise, I see unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Oh, what a joy there is. I had a burden on my soul when I came to Jesus Christ. He took my burden and gave me joy. Isn't it wonderful? You remember the day? Do you remember the joy? Do you remember the time? Thank you, Lord. I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. What a beautiful joy. My sins are gone. We got a song we sing around here at night sometime. My sins are gone. They're underneath the blood. Praise God. I tell you what, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God. That's God. It makes God happy. God is a loving, merciful God, and God rejoices when you repent. That beautiful? I think it is. Tell you something else it brings. Look at the 18th chapter of Luke, verses 13 and 14. There are two men in the temple praying. One's a Pharisee. The other one's a tax collector, a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed in verse 11. I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I thank you, Lord, I'm not a tax collector. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, Roman tax collector, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. You know what a beautiful word that is? Justified. saved. You know the result of repentance? Mercy, pardon, joy, justification, salvation. I don't know your hearts today. I don't know who you are. I don't know how you are with God. I don't know what your secret sins are. I don't know what your burdens, your controversies with God, your things you're angry with God. I don't know. But you know what I do know? I do know that repentance brings pardon and mercy and joy and justification and salvation. Whatever your need might be. One of the greatest things that Christians need to do, one of the most important things they need to do, and they do it all of their life, is repent. Repent. I repented this week. I repented the other night. I was just sitting in my chair in the living room, and I said, "Oh, Lord, forgive me." We have to repent. You have to repent to stay right with God. Because your old wicked, selfish mind keeps going after its own things and not God's things. And if you happen to be here and you're lost, you haven't trusted Christ yet as your Savior. Let me tell you, you need Jesus.
Amen.
You need Him. You can't pay for your sins. You can't do it. It is not possible for you to pay for your sins. You'll never get through paying. That's the reason why you came to the cross of Calvary. I know so many people think, you know, it's a good, bad thing, sort of weighing things out, and I'm a better person than most people, and you know, when the balance comes in, God's going to take me in because I'm better than, more than half or whatever. That's not it at all. The Bible says everybody's a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. And there's only one lawyer before the courts of heaven that can plead your case. His name is Jesus Christ. There is only one sacrifice that will ever pay for your sins. It's the blood of Christ on the cross of Calvary. You need to believe that. You need to do what the Bible says is repent towards God. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to say, "God, forgive me. I am a sinner. I know I need a Savior." You need to listen to the Spirit of God when He speaks to your heart. When He calls on you and draws you, remember, not only the preaching brings about repentance, but by the preaching and the truth, if God peradventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. That's God's Holy Spirit that touches your heart. I can't get inside of you. I don't even try. I try to persuade you. I try to reason with you. I try to make the Scriptures plain. I try to make them effective. But only God can come into your heart. And only God can save the soul. And only God can bring you to a place of real repentance where you will seek His face with all your heart, with all your soul. If you're here without Christ, I invite you to take Him as your Savior today. He's a wonderful Savior. He'll save your soul. He'll change your life. You accept Christ as your Savior today. My Christian friend, if there's any burden you have upon your heart, we have a wonderful, merciful, loving Father. And this altar is open. Let's stand and sing number 249. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for all Your blessings. We thank You for answers to prayer. We ask You to hear and answer the prayers prayed in this place today. We pray, dear Lord, if there be a lost soul in the sound of my voice, that You'll convict that soul and save them before it's everlastingly too late. Thank You for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you tonight.